How many of y'all wish y'all could sing? I know a lot of y'all were just going. How many of y'all think y'all can sing? Well, you need to join the worship team and let's get with it now. Let's bring it. And then we'll let you know, or they'll let you know if you can or not. Oh, man. Good morning. How many of y'all heard the thunder last night? Anybody? How many of you did not hear the thunder last night? Those are the people we need to rob in the middle of the night. Because if that did not wake you up, nothing will. Come take your bed right from under you. You sleep right on the floor. How many of y'all love thunder? It's just like God just going, just telling us. And you know what? The thing about thunder, as powerful and as loud as it is, it's not even God. It's something he made. I mean, you know, the earth is his footstool. So it's just some crumbs, little creation thing. And when we talk about going to heaven and hearing his voice and the angels' voices singing, woo, we have no idea what that's going to be like. It's going to be the bomb. Amen? Amen. I'm going to teach some sign language, and y'all probably noticed from last week. This is how we cheer in sign language. Instead of cheering like that, you just do this. So everyone do that. They understand. Amen. 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 Everybody doing good today? If you are not doing good today, we are glad you are here. And before I get into this, let me see what else I got to tell you. Next week, Easter. I know you heard it three times already. This will be your third time. We want as few of you as possible to come to this service, okay? As few. What does that mean? We want you to come to church, but come sunrise. How many of y'all are going to come sunrise? For real. How many? Wow, very good. I thought I was going to be the only one here. Sunrise service. Bring some other people here. Because last week, I woke up at a quarter to six. I'm thinking, I'm going to be at church this time. That's not going to be fun. And I'm really going to be mad if I'm the only one there. So how many of y'all going to come to Sunrise Service? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. That's right. It'll be good. And then how many of y'all are going to go to the alternate venue down the street that you're going to... Two people. Dang. So how many of y'all really planning to come to this service right here in this location? Yeah, here's the reason. A lot of y'all are not raising your hands, so I don't know what y'all going to do. But here's the thing, is that there's probably room for, I'm just guessing here, 700 people to come in here right now. I'm giving and taking. Next week, there will be about 3,000 additional people, 4,000 trying to get into this room. Okay, that's the reality. And at least that's what we're going to plan for. If it doesn't happen, great. Not great, but it'll be easy to manage. But we want to make it available for the people who come for the first time. There are people who've been hearing about the church, criticizing, hearing good and bad. They want to check it out. They want to come. And we want them to get in. And if you're a regular and, you know, you're going to be here the week after, whatever, give up your seat and go to the alternate venue or come at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock. Don't come at 12 because that's going to be a crowded one as well. Or come at night. If you have kids that come at night with them. But we want to get the new people, visitors to come in here. And, well, why are we going to do it for them? Because Jesus died and we're going to die. It's called sacrifice. Amen. New concept. Sacrifice. Amen. So please think about that and be a good Christian. There you go, Christian. There you go. And here's the card you can invite them to. Amen. Just know that all y'all who have friends that don't go to church, how many of y'all have friends that don't go to church? Let me ask you a question. How many of you have friends that don't go to church you would like to go to church? Okay, next week's the week they go. That's their week. So invite them. Okay, invite them. Amen. Okay. Let's try it again. I caught y'all off guard. Some of y'all, Bibles. One, two, three. Very good. Excellent. Turn to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Luke. Luke 20. Luke chapter 20. Lord, thank you for all these people turning their Bibles. Thank you for the sounds of those pages. And we pray you are pleased with our time this morning. You are pleased with my words and our thoughts and everything we do. We pray that it makes you happy. In Jesus' name, everyone said... Amen. And by the way, we had 3,300 people sign up for ministry last week, which was a great thing. Amen. 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 I got saved in 1984, April 12th, 1984. I was 24 years old, and I was laying on my couch. I've been doing cocaine all night, and I figured, you know what? I'm done. So I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That one day, I stopped doing cocaine, marijuana, just straightened my life out that day. Never did drugs ever again. Never went to rehab. God did something in my life that he just did an amazing thing. And I haven't gotten high again. Done. And one of the first things I learned was that when you get paid, you have to tithe. A new concept. When people get saved and give their life to Jesus Christ, the last part of their life that really gets saved is their wallet. In other words, your bank account, your wallet doesn't know anything about Jesus. It's all about you, okay? And so when it comes time to paying your money, it's like, man, I don't want to give my money to church. I don't want to part my money because we worship our money, bottom line. We love it. And so I had a tithe, and that year I was making $66,000 a year. It was my third year with the charges, and I had 2 years in options. That was my option year. I had $66,000. Unlike today, the minimum was like $250 or $260, something like that. The minimum, okay? Our minimum back then was like minimum wage, like $6 an hour, I think. Cameron was something. We had a guy making $35,000 a year, and he was a starter. It was his first year, but he happened to win the starting job, and his contract was $35,000. He was making, there were guys on the team paying more in taxes than his salary. But anyway, he was a starter, and I was making $66,000, so I had to pay $6,600 in tithes for that year. So I got paid every week, and you can get paid different ways, but what I was getting paid was every week for 1/16th of my check. I had 16 games, you divide them 16, you get a game check every week. So my game check was like $4,100, but then I took taxes out. Then it was $2,500. Then Saquon Casino got their cut. You know, hotel got their cut, you know, and there was some other stuff in there I didn't understand, but it was gone. And then it came time for me to pay my tithes. I was like, well, do I pay off the gross or the net? Because I only got this left. And the guy said, what do you want God to bless, your gross or your net? So I said, okay, well, it's $4,100 was the gross, so I'm going to give $410. And for 24 years, I've been faithfully tithing. Now, we are in week 4 of a series called Do Something. Everyone say, Do Something. And in the Do Something series, there's something that we do and something that God does. What God does, he changes lives. God is the one who changes your heart. I don't, you don't, God does. And then there's something we do. We become part of the army. Say army. Army. Say army. Army. Actually, this little card you got when you walked in, this little army card, if you can get that card out for just 1 second, we're going to refer to that in a minute. And the army, there's 4 things we need to do as being part of the army. One is you need to be part of an accountability relationship. Everyone say accountability. That's the A in the army. The R in the army is that you need to reach out to the lost by living an evangelistic lifestyle. That needs to be your lifestyle. Say reaching the lost. M is you need to be involved in some kind of ministry. That's why we had a ministry fair last week. We had 3,300 people sign up, and they're still signing up. So people got involved in some kind of ministry. Say ministry. And today is the Y in army, and the Y stands for yo. Everyone say yo.
Yo.
Yo money. Say yo money. Yo. This is a very touchy subject, so we're going to talk about it from the Bible because it's very important for you to understand what the Bible says, and it's very important for you to understand what God wants you to do. And by the way, God is the one. Everyone say God.
God.
Is the one who's going to stir your heart and have you do the right thing. Not me, not manipulation. Don't feel guilt. Do it because God has spoken to you. It's clear in his word, but in the end, it has to be in your heart. And if you want to secure God's blessing, you want to give your heart to God and let him direct you on what you do, how you think, how you feel. So it's going to be about you and God. Say God. Say God. Very good. We're going to look at this card because in this card, when you have your accountability relationship, when you're part of the army, you have this person one-on-one. If you're a guy, that accountability partner is a guy. If you're a woman, that accountability partner is a woman. Okay? If you're dating somebody, that don't count. If you're married to somebody, that don't count. You can still ask the questions, but that's not your accountability partner. It's, you know, you want to get someone who's not a girlfriend, boyfriend, spouse that can hold you accountable and to ask these questions to. And we're going to look at the last 3 questions that deal with the why, the yo money. Let's look at them. Question number 10 on the card, it says, do you acknowledge that God has entrusted you with all your resources? This is a question someone's going to ask you. Do you acknowledge, yes, God has entrusted me with what I have? Now, some of you may say, no, I don't acknowledge that. Well, that's the problem. You need to acknowledge that God has entrusted you. Okay? He's entrusted you with it. In other words, he's going to hold you accountable, and he's watching what you do, and he has an expectation on how you handle it, and that expectation is going to be fulfilled by you listening to him. reading his word. Okay, it's all between you and him. Number 11, are you honoring God with your money, tithes, offering, and sacrificial giving? Basically, are you honoring God? As God say, you've done a good job. Well done, good and faithful servant, with how you use what I gave you. And number 12, this question has to do with the whole your whole involvement in the army and your relationship with your accountability partner. It says, have you been truthful in this conversation and relationship? Imagine being having a friendship. Imagine going to one of your friends today and saying, you know what, in the last 6 months, have you been truthful to me? Imagine telling that to your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, boyfriend. Have you been truthful to me? You'll be shocked at how many people go, people you thought were truthful to you. Are you sincere? So it's very important for us to be transparent about that. Now, in this story we're going to look at several reasons. We're going to look at Jesus' conversation with the Pharisees about money. Now, all through Jesus' ministry, the religious, everyone say religious. The religious were trying to catch him in lies and trying to catch him in contradictions because they wanted to invalidate his popularity. People loved him. The common people loved him. They listened to him. He ministered to them, and they were getting jealous. And basically, he was exposing their hypocrisy. So he was always trying to, they were always trying to catch him in lies. You may know religious people like that. There's a difference between being religious and spiritual. Okay, religious is I got these rules, and I'm going to play the game so God can bless me. Spiritual is I am in tune with God on a personal one-on-one relationship. And he is molding and shaping me according to his word, but in the context of my own life. There's not just these five, if I do these five things, I'm good. No, I'm doing whatever God tells me. It's a spiritual, I have a relationship with God. Well, Jesus was, of course, he had a spiritual relationship. He understood the Bible, of course, he was the Bible. So they were always trying to catch him. Matter of fact, one day they brought him a woman who they caught in the act of adultery. They actually caught her in the act. What does that mean? They were peeping through the window. Listen, Jesus, we caught her in the very act. We saw everything. We re-recorded. We got videotape. Oh, that's real good, religious guys. What happened to the guy? Oh, we let him go. So you're just bringing the woman. They threw it down at Jesus' feet. Ah, she fell down right in front of him. And he said, and they say to him, Jesus, if you are really God and you really obey the word of God and the law of Moses, tell us, what should we do with this woman? Should we stone her? Jesus starts writing in the dirt. They try to catch him. You can never catch Jesus. He's too smart. Don't ever try to manipulate him and rationalize him. And he says, how many of y'all have never sinned? You could stone her. Aha, he caught him. They walked away. They walked away because he's too slick. Right before this story, they said, Jesus, where do you get your power? Where do you get your supernatural power? He says, let me ask you a question. If you want me to answer your question, let me ask you a question. Was John the Baptist from God or not? And well, if they say John the Baptist wasn't from God, the people would stone them. If they say John the Baptist was from God, Jesus would say, well, how come you didn't listen to him? He was slick. So they walked away. Another time, he said, Jesus, how come your disciples don't wash your hands? The Bible says you need to wash your hands before you eat. Jesus says, let me tell you something. It's not what's on the outside that makes you dirty. It's what's on the inside. Murders and greed come from the heart. So you need to get the lesson. The outward washing was just symbolic to get you to think about being clean. But the real clean is about the heart. So every time they tried to catch him, he would twist them up and send them away with their tails between their legs. But they kept coming at him. So here they come at him one more time. It has to do with money and Caesar. Let's look at the story, verse 19, chapter 20 of Luke. Everyone say Luke. Luke. Say Luke. Chapter 20, verse 19, it says, the scribes and the priests sought to lay hands on him at that very hour, for they perceived that he told this parable against them, but they feared the people. So they watched him and sent spies who pretended to be sincere, that they might catch him in something he said, so as to deliver him to the authorities and jurisdiction of the governor. How many of you have people in your life that are always looking to catch you in something and criticize you for something? Raise your hand real high, real high. Very good. All of you. Well, many of you. Some of you, I guess, don't know it that you have people like that in your life. Well, guess what? Welcome to the club. So did Jesus. How many of you had a best friend stab you in the back? Guess what? Welcome to the club. Jesus. What does that mean? It means learn to deal with it. You're always going to have it. Matter of fact, this is my opinion. My opinion means what? I believe. I think that's really like the most enjoyable answer you love to give me every week. You know, who died for our sin? Jesus. What happens when you die with Jesus? Go to have eternal life. I go to heaven. You know, does God love you? Yes. What does my opinion mean? Nothing. That is evidence of your sinful nature right there. Just love to tear a brother down. That's love to tear a brother down. I believe that one of the reasons Jesus had Judas be one of his disciples, he knew he was going to betray him. But he said, let me get one of the guys who's going to betray me. And by the way, he had Judas take care of the money. And I believe he did that for a couple of reasons. One, he wanted us not to worship the money. Don't worship your money. And we don't want to worship your money. But number two is that he wanted to teach us that you will always have people close to you that will stab you in the back. So just if I had it, you expect to have it. Okay? And guess what? It didn't stop his mission. It will not ruin you. So if you got someone in your life that had past, present, or future, always know if you're following God, it will not destroy you. It didn't destroy him. It won't destroy you. Just keep trusting him. So if you got it, just dust it off and keep going. It's okay. It's going to happen to the best of us and best of them, Jesus himself. Look what it says in verse 21. They asked him, teacher, we know that you speak and teach rightly and show no partiality, but truly teach the way of God. And this is a little biblical brown nosing. That's all this is. They're getting ready to set him up. Jesus, we know you're right. You always, you know, you teach right. You don't care what people think. You say what's on your heart. You say the truth. So we got a question for you. They think he's going to go, oh, that's right. Yeah. He knows what they're doing. Look what it says. It says, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? He says, should we bow down to Caesar or not? Now, it's a trick. Because if he says, bow down to Caesar, all the Jews who don't like Caesar will hate him. Why? Because Caesar set himself up to be like a god. And paying tribute, money, tax, is a way of honoring Caesar for all the good things he has done. And the Jews, the hardcore Jews, says, we're not doing that. Matter of fact, there was a revolt just because of this. They didn't want to do it. They said, we only bow down to the God of heaven. We're not bowing down to Caesar. So Jesus, what do you say? If he says, bow down to Caesar, he's not a true bona fide Jew in their mind. If he says, don't pay tribute to Caesar, then the Romans will say, he's trying to stir up trouble. And the Romans will get him. So they figure they got him. And some of y'all are thinking, yeah, they got him. But of course, you know they don't because it's too early to end the sermon. So it's got to be more to talk about. it's got to be something. It says, it's like y'all watch movies and you think you know. It's like CSI. It's 10 after the movie, 10 minutes after the movie started, and you think you already figured it out. Come on now, you got 50 minutes to figure it out. I'm not going to give you the answer that quick, okay? So here we go. Anyway, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Verse 23. But he perceived their craftiness, of course. He says, show me the money. So he said, show me the denarii. Give me your money. It's a word picture. It's kindergarten. Show me the money. Whose likeness or image, an inscription or name, does it have? Everyone raise your hand just for a minute. Keep your hand up for a while. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of y'all think you are living large? All y'all raise it. Okay. Let me tell you how you know you are the man. Okay? I'm going to tell you, and ladies too, you know, y'all the woman. How you know when you really made it is when you have your own money. When people got your face on paper or coins and they can use that to buy stuff, that's when you know you made it. So Caesar printed this money and he put his face on it and his name and also the limitations of his authority, the Roman Empire. And so if you had that, you had power and you could go buy stuff. Your money has president's pictures and names, and that gives you the power to buy stuff. Are you following me? So he says, give me your money, and whose name is on it? Tell me whose inscription that is and whose picture that is. So the Jews who are asking the question say, well, here's my money. And look what he says. It's ingenious. They said Caesar's name and image is on it. And he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. say, that's a smart brother. He says, look, if you got Caesar's money in your pocket and you're spending Caesar's money and you're benefiting from Caesar's blessings, then bless him back. If you don't want to worship him, then take his money out of your pocket. Then get some other money. So here's my million-dollar question to you. Whose inscription and image is on your money? Whose fingerprint is on the blessings of your life today? In other words, did God give you that money that you have, or did you? Did God give you your house, your apartment, your car, your box that you live in? Did God provide that, or did you? Did God provide you with your hair? Well, maybe some of y'all bought it, but that's another story. I ain't want to gossip. I'm not one to gossip. So, but did God give you the money to go buy those extensions? Did God give you the dentist to put in those new teeth? No, where did you get it? You have to, this is a question you have to, because Jesus is saying, well, give to man what man deserves. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. But give to God what God deserves. Give to God. So when you pull out your dollar, do you see the government blessing, or do you see the hand of God in the fact that you have a dollar? When I first got with the Chargers, one of the first things I did, every day, when you're a little kid, you want to play professional sports, and when you get in it, you're like, is it really real? And one of the things that made it really real for me is when I got a check with their logo on it. I was like, San Diego Chargers, in my name, money. You know what I'm saying? It was like, it was real. I had sweatpants with the logo, and you could buy those, but these were different. They are different. Had a helmet with the little bolt thing on it, and it was real. So when God says, I want you to look at your money, Rock Church, look at your money in your wallet, not right now, when you go home, and ask, is the fact that you have it symbolic of God's blessing or your blessing? And to the degree that it's your blessing, you bless yourself. To the degree that it's the government's blessing, you bless them. But to the degree that God has blessed you, you bless him. Let's keep reading. This is what it says. It says, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. And they were not able to, in the presence of the people, to catch him in what he said, but marveled at his answer. They became silent. He shut him up. I'm going to give you seven reasons why I give. Me, personally. Number one in your notes. I honor God with my money by faith giving because he entrusted me to build his kingdom with it. God says, I am giving you these opportunities to build my kingdom. Now, if you look behind me, there are two groups of people on the screen. To the left, there are people going to heaven. The Bible says the road to righteousness is very narrow. The gate to heaven is very narrow, and very few go that way. And on the left, you see a group of people that are going to hell. The Bible says the road to hell and destruction is very wide, and many go that way. Our job is to get as many people from that line, the hell line, over to the heaven line. However God gives you wisdom to do it. You know what I'm saying? Just as long as you don't hurt somebody in the process, give that person a hand, amen? Some people may do one at a time. Some people may do two at a time. Some people do bulldoze hundreds at a time. But our job is to get as many people from the hell line over to the heaven line. And God says, one of the ways I'm going to do that is I'm going to entrust you with resources, money being one of them, wisdom, connections, experience, skill. Some of y'all are just really smart. Matter of fact, let's take a poll. How many of you think you're really smart? Y'all like, should I? Let's be humble, though. Humble or prideful, yeah. Let's just put all humility and pride issues aside. How many of y'all really think you're smart? Okay. How many of you think you're dumb? No, you're not dumb. How many of y'all do not want to raise your hand to answer this question? Very good. Thank you very much. Well, guess what? If you're smart, you need to know it. If you're smart, you need to know it. Why? Because God gave you that intelligence. The definition of intelligence is the ability to learn. If God has given you the ability to learn this much, and you have downgraded yourself to this, and you only attempt to learn this, you just cheated God. So everybody raise your hand. You're all smart. You are. Some of you may not be smart where you could take a test and learn. You may get F's in school all the time, but that does not mean you're dumb. It just means you can't do good in school, which means you probably won't get a good job, which means that, no, I'm kidding. But some people, how many of y'all are smart with people? You just could read people. You just, when you meet them, you're like, I just knew it. I just knew it. We all have different intelligence. My point is this, is that God has given you every gift you have, including your resources, that you may honor him with it and partner with him to get those people from that line to that line. Why do I give? Because I want to build God's kingdom. He's given it to me for that reason. It doesn't mean I don't spend it on myself. No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean I don't buy nice things for my family. It doesn't mean that. It means that, God, I'm going to honor you with it. You are first. What do you want me to do with it? He will say, I want you to do this, 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 and this. I want you to build my kingdom this way. I want you to invest in my kingdom this way. I want you to get a good night's sleep. So on Sunday, when you do 5 services, you can be rested and good for all 5. So I want you to get this kind of bed. And we had a guy actually tell us this kind of bed. So I get that kind of bed. God, where do you want me to live? You tell me. Why? It all goes back to how am I being used by him to do that and get those people from the hell line to the heaven line. Number 2 in your notes, I honor God with my money by faith given because it secures his blessings for me and others. It secures his blessings. Raise your hand if you want to really be blessed by God. Very good, very good. Let me give you a little piece of advice. And this is not my opinion, this is fact. God can bless you better than you can. God can bless you better than I can. God can bless you better than your job can. God can bless you better than any man or woman on this earth can. God can bless you, and by the way, God wants to bless you better than you can. He does. He wants to bless you better than you think you can be blessed. Some of y'all think, man, if I just had a condo and a Hyundai that started every time, I'd be so happy, oh my goodness. God wants to bless you better than that. He wants to bless you better than that. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow or change. Everything you get good comes from God. Comes from God. And God wants to bless you. I do not want to try to run my life without God's blessing. I don't want to try to provide my family without God's blessing. I don't want to try to lead this church without God's blessing. I don't even want to try. Why? Because God has, the Bible says he has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, you too, and sitting there with my name on it, you too. Why would I not want that? And he's like, I want to give this to you. I want to give this to you. And you're probably thinking, well, why doesn't he give it to you? Because if you don't walk with him, you won't be able to handle it. You'll squander it. It'll spoil you. You see people on TV all the time. They get all this money, not necessarily from God. They get all this money and this fame, and it jacks them up. I mean, just you see it every day on TV. God says, no, I want to do that to you because since your life is submitted to me and you're going to run it my way, I'm going to give it to you and give you the wisdom to manage it. So, God, I want to secure your blessings. Because if I honor you, you're going to honor me, the Bible says. If you honor God, he will honor you. Number 3 in your notes, I honor God with my money by faith given because it makes me happy to fulfill my commitment. Everyone say happy. It makes me happy. See those teeth right there? I pay money for those teeth. My teeth used to be like that. When I would talk, words would have to do this to get out of my mouth. They were just like. So I had to do the. I had braces for almost 2 years. I took them off the day we moved into this building. Y'all don't remember because they were plastic. I had them on every week, every day. You never even noticed it. They were Invisalign. Every week, every 2 weeks, I had to change them and my teeth would move. And I got those teeth right there. So I look at them every day, and I just love them. It makes me happy to fulfill God's commitment, my commitment to God. God talks about in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, you have robbed me. And they say, where do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the, that my storehouse may have food in it. And test me if I will not overflow you with blessings. Test me. It makes me happy to do what God said. The Bible says he wants us to be a cheerful giver. It makes me happy to bless God with what he's blessed me. Number four, I honor God with my money by faith giving because I want to be a role model for others to give. I want my kids to give. Now think about this. This is kind of selfishly motivated. Say amen if you have kids. Say amen if you want to have kids. Say amen if you've been a kid. Very good. Okay. Now, I want you to think about this, all y'all with children. Okay? When you have a baby at first, they can't do anything by themselves except go to the bathroom and cry. They can't even eat by themselves. You got to feed them. So you just look there. They go to the bathroom, you got to clean them up. You got to dress them, undress them, bathe them, put them in the car, take them out of the car. They can't do anything. Amen? I mean, they're cute. You love them and everything, but they can't do anything for themselves. Completely dependent on you. And it just and believe me, I'm sure it's just a blessing raising them and loving them and all kind of stuff, but they still can't do anything for themselves. And you remember after a while, the newness of it went off, you're like, man, I can't wait for the day. I can just say, get in the car, and you can get in the car by yourself. Can I get an amen? Amen. And you can get in the car by yourself, strap yourself up all by yourself, and I can just stand there and watch. That'll be a good day. Are you following me? So that day came. My wife said, get in the car. It was like a robot. Get in the car. Buckle up. Hey. Then they grow up and they start become more and more independent. And then there comes a time where it could go back to the beginning. Where they just start sucking you dry financially, emotionally, mentally, right? You want to get to where they are so blessed, they bless you. Can I get an amen? Because if you put them in the will of God, they'll be a blessing to you. So why do I give? So I can be a role model to my kids so they can give, so they can be blessed, so I can get blessed back. Does that sound biblical? Y'all think, I don't know. Yes, just say yes. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But here's the thing. You want your kids to be in the will of God. You want your kids and other people to be blessed by God. You do. You do. One of the reasons I give is to be an example to you. I'm not going to ask you to give if I'm not giving. I'm not going to ask you to sacrifice if I'm not sacrificing. And so you want to train your kids up the same way. Look at the next one in your notes, number five. I honor God with my money by faith giving because it reminds me who's ultimately in charge. Anytime I get tempted to go, oh, this is my money. Oh, yeah, okay, let me write this check to the Lord. Because really, it's him. Matter of fact, I do my tithe, but I have my tithe on a direct deposit, so I don't even have to, it's automatic. But then I also write additional check, what I call a just-in-case check. I miss something, you know, you get a little money here, a little money there, you get a little rebate, a little sell this, a little, and then it's like, okay, I want to make sure I keep telling me myself it's all God. I don't want to come short. It reminds me who's in charge. It reminds me where my blessings come from. I was watching a show the other day. This man is 101 years old. Now, I have a goal to live to 120. Now, you may think, why would you want to live to 120? Well, why wouldn't you? Here's why. The longer, and I'm just going to talk about me. The longer I live, the more ministry I do with less effort. What does that mean? Because the more I live, the more ministry happens where when I first started, it was just me and the kids in my living room. Now there's all this other stuff happening. And so a year of ministry today is a lot more efficient than a year of ministry 20 years ago. Okay, so there's people getting saved through this church when I'm sleeping. Before, when I was sleeping, no one was getting saved because I was doing all the saving. Are you following me? When I'm 50, which is going to be a long time from now, what's up with that? they say that your most productive years are between 50 and 70 or 60 and 80 because you've built a foundation of knowledge and wisdom, whatever it is you do. You're going to be most productive when you're older because you have this foundation, all the stuff working for you. Imagine if the amount of ministry that happened between 50 and 70 or 60 and 80 is going to be exponentially larger than when I was 24 to 44. But imagine what it would be like when I'm 100 to 120. Are you following me in this? 1 year at the age of 100 is like 30 years of my life. I just kick back, ministry. At 100 years old, because I'm gonna be this old cool guy walking around like this. And so if you think that 1 year, and by the time I'm 120, if I die 1 year too soon, how much ministry that could have happened if I lived? I saw a show the other day. It was a guy, he was 101 years old, and he was running in London. Did anybody see this? He had a beard down to here. He was running. He was training for his half marathon. He was running faster than some of y'all. And then he was boxing in a boxing ring. And then in the boxing ring, at the end of the thing, he went like this, just like that, that fast. 101, talking like no big deal. He was just like a regular guy. Imagine if you could be 100 years old knowing it, and all the wisdom you'll have at 100, all the relationships you would have at 100, and if you could pile that up, and then from 100 to 120, how much you can get done. I want God to bless me. I want to make sure that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do so ministry can happen at that level. If you guys know anybody who's 75 years old, 85 years old, you need to talk to them. They know stuff. Well, my grandfather met my wife first time. We were just dating. He had met one other girlfriend. He didn't say anything about her. He met my wife, and he went. He had his arm around her the whole time we were together. I was like, Grandpa, get off my woman, okay? You know? This is what he says to me. This is the one. It's like, how do you know? Because the longer you live, the more you know. The more you should know. And he knew. Imagine if you can get old and say, God, train me up. Moses was 80. It's the same thing. Don't laugh. It's the same thing. 4 and 4 or 5 and 3 or 6 and 2. Or 7 and 1, however you want to do it. He was 80 when he started his ministry. 80. 40 years in Pharaoh's home, getting his mind right. 40 years as a shepherd, getting his heart right. 80 years old, God said, now you're ready for 40 more years of ministry. That's what I'm looking at, 120. 40 years. He trained him for 80 years. You're 20, 30 years old, God's still training you. God's still training you. Let me keep reading. Number 6. I honor God with my money by giving because God gave his son. God gave his son. He gave to me, I give to him. He gave his son, I can give him a little money. I can be faithful with what he's given me. And not only money, by the way. When it says honor God with your money, it's not only cash, it's your resources. Let God use your house for a small group. Let God use your car to transport somebody. Let God use your time to go mentor a kid. It's everything you have. God, how do you want me to honor you with what I have? Because it's all his. Remember, his image is on all of it. And lastly, I honor God with my money because I've given my heart to God. We just finished a 6-week series here on Friday nights, Rock Financial. It's a great class about financial stewardship. And the first assignment we got was to make keep a record of every dollar every day. Every time you spend a dollar, you write it down. Every day. Now, I'm not a Frappuccino drinker. I don't think. Do I drink Frappuccinos? No. Oh, I do? Okay, sometimes. I like 4 times a year. What do I usually get? A Frappuccino mocha? Chocolicky? I always gotta ask my wife, what do I get? She's like, oh boy, I gotta do everything for you. So just imagine if you tracked your money every day and you wrote down Frappuccino on Monday, $6. Mocha latte iced tea on Wednesday. $500 dress. This is not for me. I'm just talking about you. On Wednesday that you only wear one time. $50. I don't remember where that went. You know what God says? Your heart ain't in it. Where's your heart at? Your heart's in all this stuff. I'm not saying Frappuccinos are bad. I'm not. But when you start looking at where you spend your money, you see where your heart is. Your heart is where your treasure is. If you've given your heart to God, let it reflect what you do. So I try to, if God has my heart, then God, you decide. Because what that exercise did for the class was to help us see what we were doing, maybe subconsciously didn't even know it. And a lot of times we do stuff with our money or our time or our resources, and we don't even realize how wasteful we're being. And when we die and God says, I want to show you how you used everything I gave you, we're going to go, I did? Yeah. Do you know that you only prayed 5 minutes a day? Let me rephrase that. This is God talking to you. You only talk to me 5 minutes a day. The rest of the day you talk to yourself. Don't you see something wrong with that? Why are you talking to yourself? You ever ask yourself questions? Well, if you have to ask the question, you don't know it, so who are you asking? God's going to say, here's how you spent all the resources I gave you. This is not consistent with a heart that belongs to me. Because my heart says this, and your action says this. Let me encourage you. Get this card. Get an accountability partner. Start asking each other these questions. Register online. We want to know who our army is. And as far as your monies go, honor God with your money. The Bible talks about tithing. The Bible talks about offerings. But really, it's bigger than that. It's acknowledging that his imprint is on it. It's all his. And bless him with it. And when you lay down every night, say, God, did I do what you wanted me to do? And say yes. Because there's some things you might want to spend money on. He says, don't do it. I was in a store with my daughter once, and she's a girl, shopper. I'm trying to be gender or sexist, but women shop more than men on average. My wife's daughter and mother shopped for 6 hours yesterday. Six? That has to be a sin. Fellas, can I get an amen? That has to be a sin. So I was out with my daughter once. I was doing the daddy thing. We went into a store, and there was a dress there. It was a dress. And my daughter started, I have to have it. I have to. I was like, breathe, breathe. No, you don't have to have it. You really don't. Let's go outside. We're making a scene in the store. Snap out of it, woman. We went outside. Breathe air. A lot of times we think we have to. You don't. God, what do you want? What do you want me to do with this? It's yours. That's my challenge to you. Before I close, let me say this. Next week is Easter. Bring somebody. Next week is the whole reason that Christianity is different from any other religion. It's because our Savior rose from the dead. No other religion's Savior rose from the dead. If someone says to you, well, only Jesus? You only have to believe in Jesus? Yeah, because all those other dudes are dead. That's a minor technicality that you might want to consider. We want to bring people to church so they can hear that. Good Friday is the Katinas. It's going to be great. And you need to get here early. And then on Easter, you know about what service to try to avoid. But please come and bring your friends. Amen? Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you so much for church today. Lord, I pray that we would become part of your army, that we would get an accountability partner, that we would reach out to the lost people as a lifestyle, that we would be involved in ministry somewhere on a regular basis, and that we would honor you with our money, that we would make you pleased and happy with how we use what you've given us. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. to bless us. Lord, I pray we can be a blessing to this city, not just a big church in Point Loma, but a blessing to this city, that many people will come to know you as a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. One last thing, that yellow piece of paper, the petition. Please get 10 signatures of registered voters in San Diego to sign that and bring it back to us. We appreciate it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.